Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Overnight America continues. All right.
I know Charlie, he's still looking for his interview. He says he believes he has that interview with Wolfman Jack. So when he finds it, we're going to air that interview here on KMOX. I hope he does have it.
Wolfman Wrecker. Oh, man.
I'm still trying to find a closing song. I really like that one. Maybe we'll play it again here sometime this hour. But a lot to get to. A couple of landmark free speech lawsuits coming back, which is good for conservatives on campuses that have had their guests turned away because of the school. Tech stories, a race to protect data. And it looks like China has the lead. And also a new race to try to fight fake images. And a trolley story, too. Oh, man, I feel bad for the people that live around this trolley right now. Riverfront Times did a story on that. All right, I got two stories here. And producer Mike, I'm going to let you pick one or two. One or two. Story number one. Wall Street rule for the Me Too era, avoid women at all cost. Story number two, the story about the YouTubers, in particular, one seven-year-old YouTuber that's making millions of dollars reviewing toys online. Which one do you want to hear? Let you pick. You want to hear number one, Bloomberg? Okay, we'll get to the review. The seven-year-old that's making millions reviewing toys. My kid likes them. I mean, I've seen them online. All right, so here's the one from Bloomberg. No more dinners with female colleagues. Don't sit next to them on flights. Book hotel rooms on different floors. Avoid one-on-one meetings, it says. In fact, as a wealth advisor put it, just hiring a woman these days is an unknown risk, according to Wall Street. So the people that are working on Wall Street. They say that men are adopting controversial strategies because of the Me Too era and in the progress making life harder for women. I don't know if you could broadly categorize this as a bad thing or a good thing. I think in general, when you have a bunch of inappropriate behavior that's happened in the past, that it's not a bad thing to try to break even the appearance of wrongdoing by just staying away from it. So if there's moments where you're traveling, you're a married man, and you have to do a business travel, and the person you're traveling with the company is a woman, yeah, you need to go above and beyond to make sure that there's no question that something happened on that trip. In fact, it's probably better for you to avoid certain things in the workplace altogether that would even hint at the appearance of wrongdoing. Even though, and don't get me wrong, this doesn't actually reflect on the behavior of people. This actually reflects on the behavior of the appearance of something that could have been wrong. You know, that's where we're at. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's probably better for you to avoid it altogether and say to yourself, it's not really worth giving even the appearance that something improper happened. Because then there's a lot of other hard, and not just in the legal standpoint, you know, what happens if there's any sort of misunderstanding with your spouse? What if they start to be suspicious of things that are going on between you and other people? Let's say you're spending a lot of alone time with other women, things like that. You want to make sure there's not that, even that whiff in the air. Because you can say, no, honey, nothing's going on. None of this, none of that, none of this, none of that. It doesn't mean they're not going to be suspicious. It's probably better for you, for the health of your marriage, to avoid it altogether. Or what if there's a he said, she said moment where you're spending a lot of alone time going to dinners with women that are not your wife or whatever it is, spending time traveling, doing this, doing that. That can bring up some conflict. And who knows, what if someone sees something and they get the wrong impression? Who knows, maybe the person you're with says something and gives the wrong impression. And next thing you know, people are wondering, hey, you're being talked around the office. Or in a Me Too world, even worse. What happens if, for example, you become highly successful 10 years from now, and the one person says, I remember spending a lot of alone time with that person, and then they bring up these depictions of things that may or may not have happened. And you're thinking to yourself, I don't remember it like that. But boy, it was 30 years ago. How do you disprove it? Like we saw with the Kavanaugh thing. And Wall Street's very worried about that because when you're on Wall Street, you're wealthy, right? If you're successful, you're very wealthy. And a lot of times the company policy is just pay them off, whoever the accuser is, because it's not worth going through the legal battle. Well, things are changing that way too. It says, this is hardly a single industry phenomenon. Men across the country check their behavior at work to protect themselves in the face what they consider unreasonable political correctness or to simply do the right thing. I don't think there's a downside there. Let's see. In this article from Bloomberg.com, 30 senior executives suggest they are spooked by the Me Too movement and are struggling to cope. It says it's creating a sense of walking on eggshells. You should be acting appropriate with people all the time. There shouldn't just be a movement that tries to get you to act appropriate around other people. But the things you should be worried about, it's not necessarily the things that'll get you in trouble at work, but some of the things that could put a strain on your relationship or your family, if there's any sort of question, that's there too. And I really was disappointed in the way Bloomberg handled this. They had the article and they put a video up there and they tried to make this sound like, oh, everyone's now Mike Pence all of a sudden, where, here, let me just play it for you. I was very disappointed that they put this clip in with the article as a way to depict the spirit of this story when they're talking about Wall Street.
Let's go to our third story here, which is basically the hashtag MeToo era. If you take into what Vice President Pence is going to do, don't ever be alone with a woman ever, basically. Don't even have dinner with them.
Right. So, safe to...
So, I don't like how they're... Obviously, they don't have any understanding of the reason behind it. And people that are religious, I guess people that are Christian and like Mike Pence, who is very much so, he is someone that understands this sort of merit where you don't even want to be put into a position where it, even there's a hint of something that's going on. You avoid it altogether. And you do that for a lot of other reasons, probably because you very much love your wife and you don't even want to make it look like something inappropriate is going on. So you have to have other people around. I don't see a problem with that whatsoever. He was highly criticized for that sort of thing. Now, when they're talking about Wall Street and the Me Too movement and stuff, I think that's a completely different thing. I don't know why they have to go back to Mike Pence and make it sound like, oh, yeah, this is all his fault where there's discrimination for women in the workplace because he doesn't want to have meetings. Now, keep in mind, the original thing that he was saying was he when there's women other than his wife that are around settings of dinner, he wants other people there too. He doesn't do these one-on-one meetings. And I've talked to pastors about this too. When they go to other cities, let's say they're invited to go preach at a church in another city or they're doing some work in other countries, they always travel with other people because they don't even want the impression that something or something wrong happened. They want other people there as witnesses for the things they're doing. It's important, I think. Now, let me continue with Bloomberg.
I have to say, this is the number one most read story on the Bloomberg already, and it just popped a couple hours ago. I mean, your team worked on it. It's amazing.
Yeah, shout out to the reporters, Jillian and Katya, who worked on it, but it is one of the...
So they spend... So far, we are 23 seconds in, and they haven't actually said anything about the article.
Those things, there's a lot of good things that have come from the Me Too issues. It's that, you know, people are being more aware, talking to each other. But one of the potential backlashes or issues on the negative side that this story talks about is whether or not women will be iced out somewhat for some of the things in terms of men potentially being fearful that they might do something wrong or get in trouble. And so, therefore, they're not necessarily opting to have women in meetings. Maybe if they're having a meeting, and it should really be a private meeting, they leave the door open, things of that nature.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing too, because if you play this out, it leads from potential sexual harassment to ultimately sexual discrimination.
Right.
You know, if you're sort of going overboard, if it's swinging the other way.
Exactly, yeah. When it swings too intensely. It was a great article, so definitely guys, check it out.
Yeah, well, I guess everyone's going to try to find a way to safeguard themselves in any manner. I understand where there is some cause for concern. Remember how people would say, well, if you're acting appropriate, you have nothing to worry about. It's kind of like the old adage of saying, well, if you have nothing to hide, then you should allow us to search your home at any given time. Well, no, it doesn't really work like that. I don't see a problem with, for example, one-on-one private settings and things to make sure there's no indication or even a thought or an afterthought of anything that could have been there inappropriately. You know what? I get it. That was from Bloomberg.com. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I guess we could talk about this a little bit more. Do you feel like women are being discriminated against now because people are going too far to protect themselves in a Me Too world? This is Overnight America, KMOX. Didn't you say this was one of your top five favorite songs, Producer Mike, something like that?
I did not say that. You must have me confused with someone else.
I think it was. You see, Seattle got an NHL expansion team.
They yes, announced I it did. Today. Pretty exciting.
What do you think about that? Why is it exciting?
Well, I think the league needed another team, obviously, to balance out its divisions. And expansion to an exciting market like Seattle, a big city like Seattle, is... I mean, you saw what Vegas was able to do, and... the run they went on, it just brought a lot of excitement and attention, and you're expanding the fan base. And
it really is wonderful.
Yeah, and now you got 32 teams, so you can balance out the conferences evenly. And
all right, if you're a team, are you just getting tired of offering up your sacrificial lamb to the expansion draft over, like, you're having two expansion drafts within 5 years of each other? I'd be thinking to myself, man, how many other players are they going to skim from my system?
Yeah, well, I think they know that they're not going to expand, you know, much more at all within the next, you know, foreseeable decade. Yeah. I would say I can't really see more expansion teams coming, and I would think this time around teams might have a better handle on how to go about protecting their players.
Do you think that teams are thinking to themselves, oh, I might as well sign a player, overpay for them, knowing that Seattle will probably pick it up in the expansion draft?
Possibly, or offer more no-trade clauses, because I know that was a way to be left protected, whether or not a team protected you. So there's ways to plan for it.
All right, do you want to guess how much money it costs to get the franchise fee into the NHL?
I believe it was $650 million.
Way to go.
Which is already $150 million more than Vegas had to pay.
Wow, you got that memory on you, man. You knew that right away.
I got a few more stats, yeah.
It'll be NHL's 32nd franchise to enter the league. It'll be in the 2021, starting in 2021 with that season. As a member of the Pacific Division, we'll trigger realignment. We'll send the Coyotes to the Central Division.
Yep.
Well, welcome in. Hey, come on in.
Our new rivals.
Come on in, Arizona. Seattle's ownership group expressed their desire to enter the league a year early, but they didn't know if they can get the key arena up and running by then. Those renovations have now reached a price tag of $80 million. So how come?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Are you sure that's correct?
$800 million.
There you go.
$800 million. How come we could build an entire soccer stadium for like $250 million or whatever it is, but it cost $800 million to renovate a hockey arena?
I don't know. It How's almost seems like it would cost them less to just start from scratch.
Build a brand new one. Maybe they just really like the land, or they want to get it up and running sooner than later. They maybe think demolishing it would take too long.
Good point.
Seattle's the 18th largest city in the United States, has not had winter sports teams since the Supersonics left in 2008. They do have a WNBA. Seattle Storm, one of the current tenants in the arena, will temporarily relocate for the 19 and 20 seasons as the building undergoes renovations. Well, that's kind of exciting for Seattle. They made the announcement today. It's almost like I was watching ESPN. Did they not do a formal announcement originally when they voted by the Board of Governors? Listen to this real quick. Here's the Seattle announcement. And Commissioner Bettman making it after, I think, the vote.
That this morning, the Board of Governors unanimously...
This is ESPN. It sounds like they're recording on a cell phone in the background.
Bring a National Hockey League team to Seattle, Washington, to play beginning in the 2021-2022 season.
Take that, Canada. I know that Quebec wanted back in. Was it Quebec? What was the... who wanted back in Canada?
Quebec does want a team back.
Yeah. Not so fast. All right, so they get that. Wait, we'll get a Major League Soccer team here. Seattle will pick up their NHL team. What is the buy-in for Major League Soccer? Do you know what the cost is for that?
Ooh.
Franchising?
I want to say it was around $150 to $180 million,
mm-hmm.
or perhaps that was a year or two ago, and it's already gone up again.
Not $650 million like into the NHL?
No.
Okay. Well, there it is, Gary Bettman making that announcement. Seattle getting an NHL expansion team. You're all thumbs up for that.
Are we once again going to play the team name game?
Who do you want to see the team name? What do you want it at?
Well, they've had a really good history with their minor league team, the Thunderbirds. So I know people have talked about the Firebirds.
What about the Thundercats? Ho! What about the Metropolitans that go back to the old name?
Well, yeah, as Chris Raby was telling us earlier, in 1917, the Seattle Metropolitans became the first American team to win the Stanley Cup.
Hmm.
So you could bring that back and be a historic thing.
Thundercats, ho! I would like something like that. Producer Mike, thank you so much.
You could be their mascot.
Ooh, the Thundercats. Just bring in the dude, the cat with the face paint and the red hair. I don't know their names. If Jeff's listening, tweet me at Ryan Recker. What was the name of it? Was it just Thundercat? Was that like the character name? Or is that the group name? I don't know.
I have one friend that loved to do the Thundercat call just like you used to do, but I never asked him who the characters were.
Oh, I know the action figures are popular. If you go to certain places, you can find them once in a while. Behind the glass, they hide those ones. Thank you, Producer Mike. There's a story out of Detroit when the Blues were up playing the Red Wings at... I almost said Joe Louis Arena. It's not Joe Louis Arena anymore. They're at their brand new arena, beautiful, beautiful arena, Little Caesars Arena. And just last week, the teams were playing. The Red Wings ended up beating the Red Wings beat the Blues 4-3. But during the second intermission, just before they were getting the ice prepared, they bring the Zamboni out or whatever. They had Chevy out there with their new Silverado Trail Boss. And it was supposed to do a couple of laps around the ice. It's one of those promotional deals. You see that all the time. They bring the car out on the ice. The person goes around. Who knows? There might be an intern shooting T-shirts out of it or something like that. And the announcer goes up and says, "Everybody check out the brand new Chevy Silverado." Well, the car stalled on the ice. Car stalled on the ice. Now, that's embarrassing. If you've ever had to go to a trade show or a car show where you've moved cars indoors, there's a lot of regulations. You can't have a full tank of gas. In fact, you pretty much have to have an empty tank of gas in order to put it inside of a building for safety reasons. You know, let's say something happens, you don't want a giant firebomb going out when there's a bunch of people walking around. So you'd think they would have figured this out, but maybe they... this is what my speculation is, because they don't exactly say what happened here. I'm going to guess they probably drained the gas and didn't realize there was none in there. They thought there would be enough to take it around. Well, the thing stalls out. Brand new truck stalls out. Couldn't get it started. Ground to a halt, they say. Near center ice, breaking down just as crews were ready to bring the Zambonis out. Eventually, Chevy's people were able to get the truck running. But then I saw reports about how the Zamboni had to go out there and tow the thing off the ice. Get a tow from a Zamboni. Now, that seems something to be on the bucket list. I want to get a tow from a Zamboni. If the NHL hasn't created a commercial, or at least have that in production as of yet, they should. I would love to see that. NHL used to put out these awesome commercials back in the 90s. Really awesome commercials. You know, just don't put the effort in there anymore. Used to have some great Zamboni commercials. Did they have one with Wayne Gretzky driving a Zamboni on the streets or something? They had someone doing it. Everyone's infatuated with the Zamboni. Here's one other sports story for you. NFL. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers having a hard time getting people to come watch the games. They are desperate to fill Raymond James Stadium. They even offered free tickets to season ticket holders. Free tickets. Go ahead, carpool. Give them away. Do whatever you want. Just get people here. People still didn't show up. The venue was only 80% full even after giving away free tickets. Yikes. It says, sparsely populated in the lower bowl wasn't better. The inability to fill stadiums doesn't bode well for the current power structure in Tampa, and it won't make it more likely that the organization will keep their quarterback, Winston. Bucks get another chance to fill the empty stadium when the Saints return to town. Now, the Saints are hot, hot, hot. We'll see if that plays a part into it or not. I haven't been to an NFL game in probably, I don't know, at least 10 years. It's been forever. And I don't ever plan. I'll go to an XFL game here if when they make it to St. Louis. I'll give it a try. I'm sure my kid will enjoy it. Nice thing about an XFL ticket, I'm going to guess it's not super expensive. And I'm going to guess I won't feel bad if I leave at halftime because the kid's like, oh, I don't understand football, so let's go. But it'll still be fun to be in the atmosphere of it. How bad is it where you're giving away free tickets and they still won't show up? Man, that's tough. That's real tough. Up next, a couple of tech stories I want to share with you. And UC Berkeley settling a lawsuit, a free speech lawsuit. What are they going to have to pay out? How are they going to have to change things on how they operate on that campus? This is actually a lawsuit for the good. And the Riverfront Times posted an article about the Loop Trolley breaking curfew. I have to tell you about this. This is also this hour on Overnight America, KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. Got a couple of tech stories here that I thought would be good to cover. If you go to google.com right now, normally the first thing you would see is the Google logo. Bright colors, you know, each letter being a different color. Right now, they turned it gray out of respect for George H.W. Bush. Now, that is a classy thing for them to do. I'm glad they decided to do that. I'm really glad. And I don't know what I was expecting. Sometimes they do the Google Doodle. Sometimes they do that out of respect for certain dignitaries. But the fact that they're doing it today, the memorial service, which you'll hear live on KMOX, starts at 10 a.m., 1120 a.m., KMOX.com. Wherever you would listen to KMOX, you'll be able to get it there. And I think that there's going to be a lot of interest in following along with the services today. So you don't want to miss it. If you're at work or you're in the car, you can listen to it or just even stream it at your desktop, KMOX.com. I know a lot of people, if they're around a TV, will probably watch. But hey, we're going to be there with you wherever you may be, if you're by a screen or not. KMOX, KMOX.com. So a couple of tech stories I wanted to get to, and then I also have a story about the Loop Trolley. of course, there would be more problems with this thing. They got a lot of bugs to work out, and they have not been making a lot of friends. Now, I have seen pictures online. I've looked at some reviews. I have not rode it for myself. If anyone has actually rode the Loop Trolley, I would love to hear your experience about it. People that I've seen online talking about it said that it is packed. As in, when it first came in and through the weekend, lots of people were riding it. Probably just people that are curious of what the whole fuss was about. So if you've rode the Loop Trolley and you want to give us a review, I'd like to hear that. If you want to text it in, maybe you don't want to call, that's fine too. 314-436-7900. So out of San Francisco in the New York Times, the world's leading technology companies, from Google to Alibaba, which is like the Amazon in China, Amazon.com, are racing to build the first quantum computer. The device could break the encryption that protects digital information, putting at risk everything from billions of spent on e-commerce to national secrets stored in government databases. This is a scary thing. You've heard of encryption. If you have a computer, there's an easy way to tell if where you're going and looking things on the web. Normally, at the top of your browser, where you would see the web address, there might be a little lock. Yeah, a little lock. And that means you're on an encrypted site. When you do your banking online, when you make purchases online, anytime you put private information on a website, it should be going through an encryption, as in it tries to make it so other people can't just pick up on your information. Unfortunately, not all websites and companies encrypt properly, and sometimes you hear about information that is stolen or people and hackers get in and do that sort of thing. Well, if they can create a quantum computer, which hasn't happened yet, they'll be able to pretty much crack any encryption out there. Encryptions makes it very difficult, if not impossible, for your information to be stolen, at least looked at. It basically makes it private when it's sending that information from point A to point B. Now, if you have a computer smart enough and fast enough that could work faster than the encryption, then they can get around, and it would be very dangerous because anything that's sent would be vulnerable. And that's bad for companies that have to work with your privacy. I mean, imagine all the banking transactions that happen every single day. And if someone with the wrong computer or the ability had the way to steal all that information, that's terrible. That's devastating. I mean, it would pretty much cripple anything that's done that would include commerce, that would include banking. It's really, really bad. All right, so here's the next step. What happens if encryption is broken? Well, they have to now race to find a way to protect data in a way that a quantum computer can't crack. And that's the race that everyone's trying to get to next. So apparently China has a strategy with its own technology. They want to use quantum encryption which is a whole different level of this sort of thing. It says, with traditional computers, transistors store bits of information, ones and zeros, you know, when the analog information that's sent, those are fundamental slices of data that tell computers what to do. When some types of matter are extremely small or extremely cold, they behave differently. That difference allows a quantum bit to store the combinations of ones and zeros. Two qubits can hold four values at once. As the number of qubits grows, the quantum computer becomes exponentially more powerful and can process more and do more. They say there's no guarantee that quantum encryption would work over long distances, but they say this is really the only hope. Quantum encryption works only for limited distances. For example, satellite links between Beijing and Vienna stretched the limit record of 4,600 miles. On the ground with optical fibers, you can get about 150 miles total. But that's it. So this is a huge vulnerability. There's a lot of vulnerabilities in the tech sectors that people are worried about. You know, they're worried about solar flares. I think we should be much more inclined to be worried about solar flares right now. If you don't know what that is, it's just something that the sun produces. And what it does is when there's a solar flare, you may have seen photos of flares where just think of the sun, a big giant ball of flames, and you see like these little waves coming off of it, almost like little arches coming off the side when they study these things with telescopes. Well, when those things happen, it sends these electromagnetic pulses. And sometimes if they're powerful enough, when it hits the Earth, we can't really protect ourselves against that right now. You know, naturally, the Earth has a way of protecting us. They have its own field. But if it's powerful enough and it gets through that and it hits the planet, pretty devastating things will happen. In fact, it'll fry everything that's on the Earth. That's how powerful these things are. Think of this. Every electronic device in the impacted areas would instantly be worthless. It would blow them up. Well, not like, you know, blow them up like a message from Mission Impossible where everything explodes, but it would pretty much render it useless as it would fry everything on the... And it, think of all the technology, too, that would be fried. Our electric system, so all the wires that carry our electricity would fry things like that, too. Think about what happened in Puerto Rico when the hurricane came around, and it pretty much left devastation. Their whole grid was down. That would happen to us. It would take years, years to rebuild. How would you like to be without power in your house? I know you could probably go buy a generator. Oh, wait, those could have been fried, too. What's going to happen, man? That would be pretty devastating. I mean, it would take a long time to get back from something like that, make our way back from something like that. That's pretty scary. There's all kinds of threats out there. I think most government agencies are afraid to let you know just how serious some of these threats are. Very, very scary. Oh, and on top of all of that, the military is spending millions of dollars to fight fake images. I don't know if you know this too, but the technology and the way things go, you could upload audio and video of people and celebrities. There's a lot of video of celebrities talking during interviews. There's a lot of audio of me talking. Every night we upload 4 hours of the show right on the podcast, KMOX, KMOX.com, and anywhere you get your podcast. They can upload all of this audio of me talking and then eventually get my speaking pattern. They can use that to analyze all the different words I say, and then you use a computer program to take and manipulate my voice as if I was saying whatever someone was typing in. They could do the same thing with video. They could use that audio technology, and with their special effects, they're able to make any celebrity or whoever it is really, they give make it so you can control them like a puppet on this video. The example they used was Jordan Peele, as a comedian, did his best Barack Obama impersonation. And what they did was they ran the filter for President Obama, and then they overlaid it with the facial expressions and the audio of Jordan Peele, and they made President Obama sound like he was saying all these things, and it's extremely convincing. The U.S. military is very concerned that this sort of technology will be used and weaponized, as in, what if these fake videos come out of the whoever the president is at the time, saying things like they're waging war or doing things or whatever it is. What if all of those things happen? Convincing fake videos like that are just reasons why specialized teams in the United States Department of Defense are investing tens of millions of dollars to develop technology that would automatically spot manipulated videos and images. This is from the CBC. Part of the goal is to anticipate what they call a strategic surprise and the impact technology they'll have on the world. They say the U.S. government adversaries could use this as a way to, well, you'll say foreign governments, say Russia or Iran or whatever it is. Let's say one of them wanted to try to wage war, or even North Korea, before we started to get on the same page with them and get them caught up with the rest of the world. They could have used this as a way to try to put out false information or try to manipulate messages to other countries. Like even President Trump, he got duped by a comedian that was pretending to be Senator Menendez from New Jersey, and he got transferred all the way to Air Force One. He had a conversation with the president. You know, it's things like that. It's easy to manipulate. Computer science professor at Dartmouth is concerned about how technology can be used to potentially manipulate and misuse. It says a nightmare scenario is a video of Trump saying that he's launched weapons against North Korea, and before anyone figures out it was fake, there's a race for a nuclear meltdown, a global incident, something like that. Certainly the technology exists. They just need a way to authenticate things. Scary, scary stuff out there. Counterterrorism and anything else that's being used, you better believe they got to prepare themselves for these modern day technologies, whether it be trying to protect ourselves with encryption or trying to protect ourselves from fake images, fake videos, fake news too. Might as well throw fake news in there. All right, coming up next, Loop Trolley. Have any of you actually rode the Loop Trolley? What's your experience of that? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Tell me about your experience with the Loop Trolley. I got a story coming up. People that are living in that area, they're having some issues with it. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. I haven't actually spoken to anyone who has set foot on the trolley yet, the Loop Trolley. I'd like to. I walked over the tracks at the History Museum today, and I thought, oh, that'd be nice if I saw the thing operating. But no, I missed it from the time I got there to the time I left. Didn't see it at all. It operates between 6 a.m. and 10 p.m. I got to the History Museum today for Johnny Rabbit's presentation at 10 a.m., and I left about 12:30, and there wasn't any sign of the trolley at that point. Now, there's a story in the Riverfront Times, and if you've rode this thing, maybe you can put some context into how loud this bell is on it. Ding, ding, ding goes the trolley. How loud is this bell? Is it enough to scare the neighbors? Because that's what the neighbors are saying when it gets to the History Museum, that this bell is so loud you can hear it inside their house. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. So this was posted by Dustin Steinhoff over at the Riverfront Times. Stephanie Roberts, a mother of three, attempts to get her kids in bed at a reasonable hour, 9 p.m. each night. That's pretty late, actually, for kids, depending on how young the kids are. When we put our kid to bed, he's four. You know, normally the procedure is 7:30, you brush the teeth. One last time, go into the bathroom, read some stories, and then by 8 o'clock, he's in bed. We're trying to get him to fall asleep by, you know, we read stories, we sing, things like that. So 9 o'clock, yes, that's reasonable. That's not unreasonable. Like, even 9 o'clock seems late. It's not like they're making a big deal about, she's saying it's 5 o'clock, they're in bed, and now you're disrupting their... No, 9 o'clock is absolutely reasonable for a little bit of silence or not having to worry about loud noises outside. She says it's not easy, almost impossible now that the Loop Trolley is running. Blaring horn from the trolley as it enters and leaves the History Museum at Forest Park Station penetrates the brick walls of her home multiple times per night. She says, bad enough during normal hours. This is miserable. Imagine you live in, that's not cheap property around there. Look at how beautiful those homes are around Forest Park in the History Museum. Anytime we go into that area, we purposely like to drive down Lindell to look at all those beautiful houses. Some of the architecture and the size of these properties. Oh, it's gorgeous. And we think, man, wouldn't that be nice? We look up their property values. You got these million-dollar homes that are over there. And now they have to deal with it as like they're backed up to a freeway with semis honking their horn all night. She said, if that's not bad enough during normal hours... The Roberts and other homeowners near the tracks say trolley operators are breaking an agreement made with residents as part of their neighborhood association for a curfew of trolleys operation and horn use restrictions. According to the agreement with the Loop Trolley Transportation Development District, the trolley system is only to operate between the hours of 6 a.m. and 10 p.m. But she says it regularly runs late, and it regularly means that it doesn't get done till about 11 p.m. as late as 11 p.m. This is what her claim is. Now, as part of this story, they mentioned that they reached out to the trolley company who did not respond for comment. I don't think she's lying. As busy as this trolley is, and I've read depictions of this where it's just a ton of people using it all the time, when the demand's so high, you don't want to leave someone stranded somewhere else and, you know, they bought a ticket already to get to the other side. I can see where they might be in a pickle to keep this thing running in order to make sure all of the different passengers reach their destination. I get that. So you have to run a little bit late, but is it necessary to run this horn, this obnoxious horn, in the late, late hours? Now, come on. I tend to agree with the people that are living around there. I'm going to guess that this is happening regularly, and it is annoying as all get up, and they're thinking to themselves, I buy a $1 million home. I don't exactly know where her home's located, but these are very expensive homes that are around Forest Park, and I got to deal with this? Are you kidding me? The agreement also says the trolley system shall not allow any bell ringing or other horns south of Forest Park Parkway to the History Museum Forest Park Trolley Station at any time. She says, with the exception of the sound horn while the trolley is parked at the History Museum Trolley Station, but only between 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. She says that's regularly broken. Regularly broken. Her home is south of Forest Park Parkway on Lindell. Oh, so she's got a house on Lindell. Man, those are very expensive properties. Every time my wife drives down there, she thinks, oh, wouldn't that be great if we can live here someday? And I said, honey, we're either going to have to start playing the lottery or I'm going to have to get a different job because we're not getting a $1 million home. 2016, she also had other issues. She had to deal with the construction going on. Yeah, you had to deal with that. And, you know, okay, fine, construction's going on. They're doing their thing. But she found out that crews ripped out her hedges on her property, ripped out 6-foot-tall hedges on her property. Trolley spokesperson said there was a miscommunication and apologized. Oh, my goodness. What a nightmare for the people that are living around here. Now, the boat is rocking. I mean, really rocking right now. And it's bad enough that this took years longer than it needed to. It's bad enough that this thing ran way over budget. It's bad enough that all of these businesses around here are inconvenienced because they lose the parking. They had to deal with the construction. They say they lost money. Problems. I mean, we have all kinds of different problems with this thing. But the people still persevered. They wanted to get this thing out. They wanted to keep going. They wanted to make sure this thing didn't die. They did it. The regulatory, the laws, they got it all done. So we knew that problems would arise. The question is, are they going to be able to fix this? You got to make it better for the people that are working around there. Don't let something like this prolong. Don't make it so all the people living around this area are miserable, just like the business people that say they lost business because people couldn't park by them anymore. You have to make this good. This isn't one of those situations where you just hope that they deal with it and get used to it. No, you got to live up to your end of the bargain. Don't be blowing that horn so late at night. Don't be blowing it in areas you're not supposed to. Don't be running this thing longer than you need to. You got to fix this thing. She says, you can hear the beeping throughout every room in the house. The whole thing is just ridiculous. I agree. Anything that's a horn like that, have you ever heard of like a train horn blow? It's enough to blow your eardrums off. I mean, you'll go deaf. Scary. It's sad. It's now, Madge, I don't know how strong this horn is, but I got every reason to believe she's not telling a lie. Loop Trolley keeps blasting its horn after hours, according to neighbors. Wow. Good luck. Could you imagine you have to put the house up for sale at some point, and you're showing the house, and they're walking through, and everything looks great. Oh, I've always wanted to live in this historic district of this house. And they think, oh, wait, what was that? Oh, just please ignore that. Oh, good luck trying to schedule the showings around that. They got to fix it. They do. Okay. Coming up next hour, tell me something good. I got a couple of great stories to share with you. Also, a whole nother story. Kevin Kling did one about the Kansas City couple's missing beloved dog. How far would you go to find a lost dog? Seriously, how far would you go? Would you airlift yourself from a cruise ship in order to find that missing dog? I don't know. We'll find out next hour. Overnight America, KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.